Working. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the first day of session in our second meeting of Ethics and Elections. Today is Tuesday, March 7th. Time is 2 p.m., and we are going to head and get started. Terrence, please call the roll.
Senator Avila. Senator Garcia.
Here.
Senator Grawl.
Here.
Senator Engolia.
Here.
Senator Martin.
Here.
Senator Mayfield.
Here.
Senator Polsky, Senator Powell,
here.
Senator Rousson,
here.
Senator Burgess,
here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Terrence. Just a reminder to please silence all your electronic devices, and anyone wishing to speak before the committee should complete an appearance form and hand it to a member of the sergeant's office. Should you wish to speak to an issue related to today's meeting, and should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be included in the committee meeting records. We were not going to take up tab one. We are actually going to TP that bill, so please show it TP for purposes of today's meeting. And we are going to move right into tab two, Senate Bill 666. Forms of candidate oaths. Please don't hold the number against the bill. This is Senator Collins' bill, and it will be presented today by Senator Engolia. Senator Engolia, pursuant to Rule 2.11, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is just a very simple bill on the candidate oath. It just requires, instead of an address, to put the actual legal residence address on the oath. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Senator Engolia. Are there any amendments? It looks like there is one. Would you like to take that up?
I don't have the amendment.
Do we have amendment barcode 348986 by Senator Collins?
Me to introduce that? I can. Okay, Mr. Chair, thank you. The amendment makes the same change to the oath for judicial candidates that the underlying bill makes to the oath of candidates for other state offices, and the change conforms the address requirements for oaths that was requested by the Supervisor of Elections. That is the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Engolia. Good job. And having explained the amendment, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, are there
questions,
any appearance?
Chair?
Oh, Senator Powell.
Thank you. Senator Olin. Thank you. Senator Engolia. What's the impetus for this amendment? Why is it necessary in adding judges in terms of a candidate's oath?
Senator, would you like to answer that or
sure.
defer to?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to make it consistent so everyone is under the same, because everyone has to follow that same candidate oath.
Thank you.
Senator Powell, any further questions? Thank you. All right, awesome. We do have an appearance form. David Ramba is waving in support of the amendment and bill with the Florida Supervisors of Elections. Is there any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, you're recognized to close. Wave and close. All in favor of the amendment, say yay.
Yay.
All opposed, say nay. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions on the bill as amended?
Question.
Senator Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Engolia, what's the impetus for the bill? Why is this necessary? What's the change from current law? You indicated that it would go from a primary address to an address where the resident lives. Can you just explain that to me in a little more detail so I can understand?
Senator, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yep. Currently on candidate oaths, it's just asking for an address. It does not have to specify whether that person, whether it is a legal address. So there's a practice of people putting P.O. boxes and stuff like that. So this is also part of the process of establishing residency also. So they want to know where the legal address is. And then, of course, if it is somebody who is ex-law enforcement or something's delineated in the statute, in a certain statute that that is exempt from public records, that will be redacted also if that's that. So it's basically just to make sure that we have the legal, where they're basically living right now, their legal residence.
Senator Powell, any further questions? All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, do we have any appearance forms? Seeing no appearance forms, is there debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no debate, Senator Engolia, you're recognized to close. Waiving close. Terrence, please call the roll on SBCS for SB 666.
Senator. Senator Avila.
Yes.
Senator Garcia.
Yes.
Senator Grawl.
Yes.
Senator Engolia.
Yes.
Senator Martin.
Yes.
Senator Mayfield.
Yes.
Senator Polsky. Senator Powell.
Yes.
Vice Chair Roussung.
Yes.
Chair Burgess.
Yes. By your vote, show CS for SB 666 is reported favorably. Good job on the fly, Senator Engolia. Next, we'll take up tab three, SB, we're sticking with easy numbers today, folks, SB 444 on district school board elections, and we'll stick with the same gentleman, Senator Engolia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Senate Bill 444 makes technical changes to candidates elected for district school board. Specifically, it provides that an elected candidate district must reside in a district school board residence by the time he or she assumes office. School boards are currently an outlier where they have to reside in the district by the time of qualifying. It is the only one of the elected offices that does it during qualifying, so this will bring it in line with other elected offices. That is the bill.
Senator Engolia, having explained the bill, are there any questions?
Questions.
Senator Powell.
Thank you. Senator Engolia, considering that school boards are an outlier, but school board races, like unlike other races, are nonpartisan, why is this necessary that a member of the school board has to qualify prior to them taking office as opposed to when an individual decides they're going to run for office?
Senator Engolia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So currently, like if you're running for county commission, when you qualify for office, you don't have to, during the qualification period, you don't have to actually reside in the district that you're running in, if it's a single member district or the district that's been carved out in a constitutional carry where you have at-large districts. So they're only required, as well as a litany of other, all of the people who are up for office, they don't have to live in a district until the time they take office. School boards are treated differently for, I don't know why, there's really no good rhyme or reason why, where they actually have to reside in the office at the time of qualifying. This has caused a bunch of confusion amongst candidates because everyone thinks that you have to live in the district by the time you assume office. So we're taking away some of that confusion and we're just making it consistent with everything else. The fact that it's a school board, the fact that it's a nonpartisan office, really has no there's no difference on that. It should be treated the same as regular partisan offices.
Senator Powell?
Follow up. In the case of school boards, like other races, you've seen it likely in House races where people search for districts to run for with the impetus that, well, I can just move into that district at the time that I'm elected. This, in my opinion, could create that same opportunity in school boards, which I think is too important to play with our school boards, where you can have people going, well, I'll run for school board, and if I get elected, then I'll move into the district. Do you believe that this would create opportunities for people just to search out seats to run for, potentially not with the intent to actually win or with the intent to be the school board member for that district, just to search for a seat?
Senator Engolia.
No, I'm not concerned at all, because it's bringing it in line with the way elections are run and qualifying and assuming offices, the rest of the Florida statute. So it's just aligning it. So if you have concerns with the school board, then you probably have concerns with the way we're just holding elections in general.
Senator Powell?
Would you not have those same concerns with the way we are holding elections in general in terms of seat searching?
Senator Engel?
No, I don't, because the main thing that I'm concerned with is a commitment from the candidate who qualifies to make sure that they're representing that district. And in my humble opinion, as long as they are a citizen and they're a resident of that district and they're committed to representing that district, living in that district during their election, then I have no concerns with that.
Any further questions? Seeing none, are there any appearance forms on the bill? Genesis Robinson from Orlando is speaking against the bill. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the members of the committee. My name is Genesis Robinson. I am the political director for Equal Ground Action Fund. We are a black-led voting rights organization headquartered in Central Florida, and we rise today in opposition to this bill. Much like Senator Powell, we fundamentally believe that Candidates who choose to seek political office should reside or have a vested interest in the community that they seek to hold. And so this bill for us is really about trust. It's about accountability. And to require that folks become eligible to live or to live in a particular district after the election just really does not help establish a connection between that candidate and the community that they are wishing to serve. And so we believe that being from a local area can help a candidate establish a personal connection, not only with the voters, but having a better understanding of the needs of that community. And so if we move forward with this, I do understand that it'll be in line with other elections that are in the state, but I think the situation with our schools is far too dire for us to risk having transplants who know nothing about the local issues in the community to come in and serve in that position. So we urge you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Could I have a question? Yeah, absolutely. If you don't mind, Genesis, we do have a question from the panel for you. Senator Martin, you are recognized to ask Genesis a question.
Thank you very much for coming here from Orlando and sharing your thoughts. My concern is with redistricting, sometimes the maps aren't final until very, very close to qualifying. Wealthy individuals can afford to buy a house somewhere at the drop of a hat and just move and qualify under the current scheme in the school board elections. Middle-class people might need to notify their landlord if they want to get their deposit back before they move. They're maybe trying to get some money out of a retirement account to go put a down payment on a house and close just in time. What are your concerns that without changing this, we're actually preventing people of low and middle income from moving you know, around the redistricting time or when a seat pops open?
Yeah, so
thank
you, Mr. Chair. I think it's still our position that the people who reside in, you know, certain communities should have the ability to represent those folks that they desire to serve. But I think in addition to that, when it comes to redistricting, we typically conduct redistricting during legislative session. This is for school boards, but typically that takes place earlier in the year. And so the point is that there's time, should be time, if the process is done the proper way, to then qualify for whatever seat that you desire to qualify for. I think in the instance of, for example, congressional redistricting that we saw here in Florida, it took place so late for folks who may have wanted to run for congressional offices, it may have created that delay. But for school board races and things like that, the process is done so far enough in advance in the year that folks should be able to qualify by August.
Any further questions? Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Jasmine Bernie Clark, I believe, who is waving against the bill, also from Orlando. Thank you. All right. Having heard public testimony, is there any debate on the bill? Senator Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Ngolia, for bringing this bill forward. You know, on its face, it doesn't seem like a very difficult bill. However, in light of what's happening with school boards across this state and probably across this nation, I'm very concerned with anything that we do that would give anyone the impetus to just move around to run for school board. It's very dangerous. The idea, Senator Martin, that you brought up of low-income people after redistricting may have to move into a district, I don't know how likely that is. If you look at it and look around the state, low-income people are not moving to run for office. Low-income people, more than likely, especially when it comes to purchasing homes here in the state of Florida, are not purchasing homes. Financially, you know, and it's becoming more and more difficult on the salaries that people who are in elected office are receiving, look at our salaries, to run for public office. In this particular case, I believe that if someone is running for school board, they should have a vested interest in that area way before they decide to make that decision. And for that, although on its face it seems like a very, very simple bill, for me it has a number of challenges. Maybe at some point, Senator Ngolia, we can kind of work through those or talk through them, but it's a no for me today, and I appreciate you for bringing this forward, but that's just my challenge with the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Powell. Any further debate? Senator Martin?
Thank you. I think this is a great bill. I think it brings school board elections, which are the outlier, in line with all the elections for constitutional offices, and including those up here in the state legislature. I think ultimately any rule that we have that limits somebody's ability to run for office is a hindrance unless there's a compelling government interest
I think that any question regarding someone's ties to the community is a question that's ripe for political and discourse and debate, and that's something that the voters should have 100% decision on, and I shouldn't prevent somebody from running for office because I want them to jump through a bunch of hoops on my time frame. As long as they're representing the voters that voted for them and elected them, I'm okay with the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Martin. Senator Ngoli, I'll just take a moment and add to debate and just say that I too believe that this, I mean, just looking at the staff analysis, you can see how out of whack the point of residency is as in relation to every other election that we hold. And so I think this is a measured bill with consistency built in it. And so I appreciate you bringing it forward. With that, seeing no further debate, Senator Ngoli, you're recognized to close on the bill. And waiving close, Terrence, please call the roll on SB 444.
Senator Avila?
Yes.
Senator Garcia?
Yes.
Senator Grawl?
Yes.
Senator Ngoli?
Yes.
Senator Martin?
Yes.
Senator Mayfield?
Yes.
Senator Polsky?
No.
Senator Powell?
No.
Senator Rousson?
No.
Senator Burgess?
Yes. By your vote, show SB 444 is reported. By your vote, show SB 444 is reported favorably. Next up, senators, we have tab 4, which is our first batch of confirmation hearing for appointments. Unless a senator requests a separate vote on an individual before the appointment list, we will take one vote on all of these appointees. I'm sure that you all have had an opportunity to look at the names and for the positions in which somebody is being appointed, as well as whether or not they are a new appointment or a reappointment. Their information and application packets are available to any senator who would request that information prior to the meeting. Are there any appearance forms on the list that is before us? Just a moment as we look to see if there's appearance forms on this issue. Thank you. It doesn't appear that we have any appearance forms on the issue before us. Is there a motion to recommend confirmation for the list that is before us? We have a motion to recommend confirmations by Senator Mayfield for all appointees on tabs 4 through 20. Terrence, please call the roll.
Senator Avila?
Yes.
Senator Garcia?
Yes.
Senator Grawl?
Yes.
Senator Ngoli?
Yes.
Senator Martin?
Yes.
Senator Mayfield?
Yes.
Senator Polsky?
Yes.
Senator Powell?
Yes.
Senator Rousson?
Yes.
Senator Burgess?
Yes. By your vote, show the confirmation of appointees on tabs 4 through 20 are recommended favorably. Just give me a minute, senators. Does any senator wish to be recorded as voting on bills before the committee today that they weren't voting on? We heard them.
Yes, Chair. Tab 1 was TP? Tab 2 then?
It was TP, yes. Tab 1. Tab 2 was heard.
Okay, tab 2, I'd like to be recorded in the affirmative, please.
Show Senator Polsky recorded in the affirmative on tab 2. Any objections? Seeing none. Thank you very much. Is there any other business before the committee today? I do have to make a statement here. We do have a couple appearance cards, about 5. Jennifer Wright, Stephen Miles, William Rosenberg, C. Leffler, I believe is the name, and Madison Anastasia Markham. Thank you so much for coming to the committee today. I'm sure you're out there. I understand that the issue in which you're wanting to discuss is the new College Board. Unfortunately, that issue isn't before the committee today. But what I would like, so we aren't able to take that up in the committee since it wasn't on the agenda, but what I would like to do is offer an opportunity, if it's agreeable to you all, to meet with my team. And obviously, while you're, I don't know how long you're here for, if you would like to discuss that issue, not only with my team, but also request some meetings with either some senators on the panel if they're able to. I don't know what their schedules are like, and obviously other senators while you are here. I would highly encourage you to do that. We will have a meeting in the future. I believe those appointees have been referred to higher education is where they will go for that. If you are not able to make the higher education meeting when that I don't know when that date is, but if you're not able to make that meeting at that time, I would recommend submitting testimony for the record, and that can be provided in the record for that result. My staff member, Jonathan, is right there if you'd like to maybe reach out to him as soon as we adjourn and see if we can get something on the books while you're here. Thank you so much, and I appreciate your understanding. Appreciate you traveling here, too. I understand how far that is. Okay, is there any other business before the committee? Senator Polsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to request that this committee hold a meeting or a hearing relating to the state's decision to leave the ERIC voting registration system. I think it's very important. It's something that we just a few years ago joined. There's some controversy associated with that decision, and I think it's part of the purview of this committee to understand the reasoning behind it and for us to be able to ask questions. So I would request a meeting like that in the future, please.
Thank you, Senator Polsky. I think we all saw the press release that came out from the governor's office and Secretary Byrd yesterday, and I would refer everybody to that if they haven't seen it yet. This did just happen, I believe it was yesterday, and I'll take that under advisement and appreciate you bringing that to the committee. Thank you. Are there any other business? Seeing none, I believe Senator Engolia moves that we adjourn. Seeing no objection, we are officially adjourned.